saved. Had some great days in my life. June the 25th, 1983. Married my wife. April the 14th, 1994. God gave us a beautiful girl. But the greatest day of my life was February the 14th, 2004, when I met Jesus. Brother Ken told you I got covered up in the mines. Don't get nervous now. I don't preach long. You suck cold up for 26 years. You ain't going to preach very long. And I'll never forget, my mom and dad took me to church ever since I was little. I know there's a heaven and a hell. And I know that day I was going to hell. And I'll remember begging God if He'd just let me make it outside. I'd start going to church. Hey, I'd live for Jesus. When you think you're going to hell, you start making deals with God. But it wasn't long, I was right back to doing what I was doing before. Brother Ken asked me to tell this one time with some of the boys over Brother Jody, and I'm telling you all the same thing. And I wondered, why would God do that? He knowed I wasn't going to keep my word. He knowed everything I was telling Him I wasn't going to do. But still God, rich in mercy and grace, hey, let me live. He had a plan for me. Amen. Luke tonight, Luke chapter 1, if you would. It's been good to be with you all, and I do want to say I thank you for a place to stay down there a few days. Your preacher is my best friend in the ministry. And I'm going to tell you something. You've already been told this probably. You got, as far as I'm concerned, the best pastor in the country. Now, some of you don't believe that. I was going to leave early, but I'll stay around and get some U-Hauls, and I'll take him and Miss Renee and Macy and Megan and them grandkids. He ain't going unless them grandkids go. But you can keep Cece and Jason, okay? I ain't taking them. Amen. Hey, we're fixing to read the text. I like to have. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. The world's been making noise way too long. We're the saved crowd. We ought to be one making the noise. Amen. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses and go to the Lord tonight and see what the Lord has for us. I want to try to be a blessing to you tonight. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abibi, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and that thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Lord, our most gracious Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. God, I realize where I'm standing. Lord, I need a touch from heaven. Lord, I asked You to help me. I'm unworthy. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, let me be a blessing to Your people. Thank You for the singing, Lord, that we've heard all day. Lord, would You put a hedge about them as they travel back home? God, we do want to ask You, Lord, if there's one lost, Lord, that You send conviction to their pew and to their heart. Lord, that it might be the greatest day in their life when Jesus went home with them. Help us tonight, Lord. We love and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I'm interested in a couple of verses there this evening. We're going to use that text. I told you, I don't do long-winded preaching. The piano player said that CeCe set that little car seat down. If I preached very long, she was going to get in it. I said, well, you better get in. But listen now, I'm interested in a couple of verses here tonight, and we're going to use it. And we are going to turn a couple times, but mark your place because we're going to stay kind of in this text. But there's a couple of verses there I noticed when reading one day. Verse 6 said, and they were both righteous before God. What a testimony. Hey, that wasn't me and you saying they was righteous for God. That was the Holy Ghost saying they were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and that they both were now well stricken in years. They're blameless in verse 6, but they're barren in verse 7. Now my thought, and I'll give it to you in a few minutes again when I get done with the introduction, is that we are blameless, but we still are barren. Hey, I think what places I go to in the day that we live in. Brother Ken just preached this week when I was in the meeting in North Carolina with him about the missing ingredient of the Holy Ghost. And don't get me wrong, it is the missing ingredient. But I'm going to tell you one of the reasons it's missing. It's because we ain't bringing it in with us. Hey, in this day and time that we live in, hey, I believe that I'm preaching to a crowd that probably 50, 60, maybe even 75% have no idea what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, I believe with all my heart when we get saved, on the day that we get saved, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. But I believe over just a little bit of time, hey, our flesh steals a little bit of that, Brother Mike. The world takes a little bit of it. And before long, we're not filled no more. Hey, and before long, we're just doing our obligation duty, getting up on Sunday morning, coming up. Gas is way too high to be coming over here not being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, but we do that, hey, because we don't want nobody else thinking something about us. Hey, that we ain't right with God. Now listen, it's not that we're not saved. It's just that we ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. Some we've learned then now how to fit in. Some we've learned now we've got a generation of Christians, some. Hey, they know how to hide the liquor. They know how to get on the chat rooms. Hey, they know how to do all this stuff and come to church with a big smile upon their face. Like everything's all right. Hey, but the Bible tells us a familiar verse. I'll read it to you. You won't have to turn to this one. In the book of Ephesians, the Bible tells us in chapter 5, verse 18. Now listen. And be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to tell you something tonight. There wasn't no choice. God said if we wanted to, if we felt like it, if we thought about it, God said, be ye filled. That is a commandment from God that you and I walk every day of our life, that we can walk every day filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And guess what? If we're not doing it, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Amen. Like I say, it's not a choice. Hey, it's a command from a holy and righteous God. Hey, this is what we do. Hey, we come in and sit down. We look over on the end of the pew and we say, well, I know they ain't filled. Why should I be filled? That wasn't what God said. It's amazing to me how we come in and we expect our pastor or the man of God that gets up here behind the floor to be prayed up and filled up and preached to us. When he's preaching to 75% don't know nothing about it. Hey, and we're wondering how God ain't moving. How come souls ain't being saved? Hey, we're not filled. Now let me tell you something. I'm talking about a feeling. That word filled I read in Ephesians there means a continued filling. Can I spill just a little bit of water here, preacher? It's a continued filling. In other words, it's a continuing filling. There's an inflow that produces a continual outflow. It's what that means. Hey, that continued infill. Hey, that is. In other words, I'll show you kind of what I mean. I noticed a while ago when the Rochester was singing. I like that Holy Ghost singing. See, if I would have kept pouring that water for long, it'd been out there. See, they got the singing. Singing, as your preacher says, over in Eastern Kentucky, it's singing. Now, he says there's a difference. Look at his head. He don't know the difference of a haircut and a shave, okay? But listen now. What happened was they got the singing. Hey, and the Holy Ghost got them. I seen people start running to the altar. I seen people start, you know what that is? That's that feeling running off of them into the congregation. Hey, now, if that can happen with them, and we would get filled, we'd come into the house of God. Hey, it's amazing when we come in with a lip hanging down that shoves up a carpet. And we wonder how come nobody don't get saved. Do you think a sinner wants what we have when we look like we're miserable? And by the way, let me tell you something. If you've been born again and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you are miserable. And it's not because of the one you married, okay? Hey, it's because you're not filled with the Holy Ghost is what it is. Hey. But we wonder why we don't have a burden for lost souls. Hey, we wonder why dear old brother or sister one come faithful to the house of God. Hey, and then they start missing a little bit. Ain't nobody worried about them. Why? We ain't filled. Hey, we're just kind of looking through the door hoping a new face comes in. If we was filled, we'd be down on A. You remember the old time people? Hey, you come to church. Hey, like I say, I've been to church a long time when I was a little boy. And that's been a few years ago. But people would get on the altars and they'd be wet spots. Because they was burdened. Hey, why would they do that? Because they was filled. We do still believe that people die and go to hell if they're sinners, don't we? Hey, it's about time we get back to being spirit-filled. Hey, be a blessing to our pastor. Hey, now, Zacharias and Elizabeth, the Bible said they was blameless, but they was barren. Let me tell you something. What you're saying by what they said there in verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking all again. In other words, they didn't have no problem when the preacher got up like he did this morning and said, King James 11:16 is the Word of God. In our Baptist churches, that kind of messes some people up anymore. Hey, this Bible is powerful. Hey, it's plain and it's pure. So they take and want to give us something else. They ain't giving it to me. They made it to some of you all. But they want to put something else there. And they say, you know, it's better. It's plain. If it's pure, how can you improve on it? You can't improve on it. Hey, but still we got people in our churches run out there and get one. I tell you what, help you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You can understand this one. Hey, you can understand this one right here. But that's what it meant. Hey, they didn't care. They didn't care when the preacher got up and said, shacking up is a sin. Hey, they didn't mind when the preacher got up and said alcohol was a sin. Hey, they didn't mind when the preacher got up and said homosexuality was an abomination to God. Hey, that didn't bother them none. Hey. They was filled. Now, they were blameless in concerning their diligence. They were blameless in the direction. What are you saying, preacher? In the way they was going. The Bible says they were walking in the ordinances of the Lord. But my Bible says they were still empty. They were still missing something. Hey. I'm just wondering tonight if we got some people willing to admit that they're not filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I done said, don't look over at the one beside you. Hey, don't be worried about them. You know, I really believe. See, I live up there where we have snows. Preacher knows that. I tell him, Brother Steve, there the last night, one Friday evening, Saturday this past winter, we had 19 inches. And that's on Saturday. Come Wednesday, we had another 14 more. You better have some good shovels. But I tell you what our people does in the Baptist churches. They good at shoveling. They shovel it to the pew behind them. They don't need it. Don't be looking for the one behind you. Hey, just admit to God you're the one that needs it. Hey. Now here's my thought again. We're barren, or blameless, but we're yet barren. How did we get it, preacher? Look in our text. Verse 13. The Bible said, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for what? Your prayer is heard. If you and I are going to get filled with the Spirit of God, guess what? It's going to take prayer. It's going to take you and I spending some time along with God, getting in tune with God, if we're going to get filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, we're going to have to get filled. We're going to have to spend some time praying. For the average Baptist person, their prayer life is that little prayer about lay me down to sleep, my soul to keep, and bless my food, Jesus. I'm being honest with you. That's about the only time they pray. And then they wonder why they're not Spirit-filled. If you're going to be Spirit-filled, you're going to have to spend some time alone with God, hey, getting prayed up and getting tuned with God. Pray will get you filled. So what we got to do, preacher? Well, let me tell you something. First thing you got to do, you got to acknowledge to yourself that you're not filled. It's amazing. Like I said, we look at everybody else, but we won't look at ourselves. Hey, we can spot a flea on a coon dog's yard in somebody else's yard a mile away, but there's a telephone pole sticking out of our eye and we can't see it. Hey, we're good about looking at everybody else's sin. Hey, but we're not willing to admit that we're the ones got the problem. Hey, Zacharias and Elizabeth, the Bible said they was barren. They had to be willing to admit there's something missing, Brother Mike. Something ain't right. It's not that, like I said a while ago, it's not that we're not saved, but there's something missing. Hey, how long's it been since the joy bells rung? How long's it been? I'm going to spill water again, preacher. How long's it been since God's got a hold of your heart and squeezed so some tears got out of your eyes? It wouldn't take long if you were Spirit-filled. It wouldn't be long at all. We have to acknowledge there's a problem, something missing. Then you're going to have to acknowledge to God that you've got the problem. Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. God knows everything. Well, the Bible says over there, and when God come walking through the cool of day, He said, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was, but He was wanting Adam to know. God was like for every now and then, for you and I, you'll talk to Him. He knows that we're not Spirit-filled, but He still wants us to acknowledge to Him that we're not where we're at. That way He can help us. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel real quick. Save your spot where we're at. We're coming back here in a minute. First Samuel chapter 1. I'm talking about now we're going to have to acknowledge to ourselves, acknowledge to God that we're not. We got to get with God and say, God, there's something missing. Hey. Everybody there, 1 Samuel chapter 1. What'd she do, preacher? Hey. Look in verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. How long's it been since we even wept, let alone wept sore? Hey, that we're not. Then the Bible said, she wept sore. Look what she said. Oh, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid. What was her affliction? She was barren. Hey, the same thing you and I are when we're not filled with the Holy Ghost. We're burned. Hey, we're burned is what we are. The Bible says she wept till she was sore. She was asking God, hey God, look upon my affliction. Help me with this. I don't believe God saves us and gives us a spirit of satisfaction. I don't believe He does it, preacher. I don't believe He saves us and lets us. You know, we're good at singing that song, Standing on the Promises. But the most of the time, we're sitting on the premises. That's what we're doing. All right. All right. We're going to have to take and acknowledge it to God that we need some help. That we're not where we need. Then you got to agonize in prayer. Look what verse 12 said there. And it came to pass as she what? See, this is what we do. Now, there's probably some of us here tonight that willing to admit that we're not filled with the Spirit. Hey, but we'll run and pray about it just a few minutes if God don't do it. We just quit, preacher. It didn't take us, and I said us, that includes me. We didn't get carnal overnight, okay? We didn't get cold overnight. Brother, it took us a while to get that way, and it's going to take us a while to get Spirit-filled. We're going to have to agonize in prayer, begging God to help us to get Spirit-filled. Let's go back to Luke real quick. I got to show you something. Talking about being burned tonight now. Talking about not being Spirit-filled. I said, how long has it been that you've been on the altar and asked God to fill you? Now, you said, preacher, if I acknowledge it to myself, go to Luke chapter 11 real quick, and then we're going back to the chapter we was in. You say, preacher, if I acknowledge it to myself, and then I acknowledge it to God, and then I agonize, will God really fill me? I'm glad you asked. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If ye thee being evil, knowing how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that asked. So that tells me that God wants His children to be filled. He wants them to be filled. CC, where you at? Where Parker at? He real close. Come here, Parker. Come here, CC, real quick. I promise you I ain't going to bug you just a little bit. Now, the Bible said us being evil. Boy, wasn't that a verse for CC? Hallelujah. Said us being... Sit down there, CC, real quick. Put that boy up on your knee. Said us being evil... want to give good gifts to our children. How much more? The God one will give the Holy Ghost. Thank you, brother. Thank you. How much more? God don't want us walking. He's done gave us a commandment to be filled. And He's done promises there that He would do it. Hey, He wants to bless us. And I'm going to tell you something. I know CC a little bit. He'll probably get that little boy anything he wants. But I'm going to tell you something. Hey, anything CC can do, God can do a lot better. A whole lot better. Hey. The prayer of a barren womb. Now we're going to the pattern of a barren womb. Or the characteristics, I guess you'd say, of a barren womb. Now listen, we don't get barren. Now, you ladies, help me with this if I mess it up after church. Let me preach first, okay? Now, listen. She's barren. She's empty. Hey, she ain't got no fruit. Hey, now listen to me. The womb does not accept the seed and then have a miscarriage. It doesn't work that way. It just rejects the seed altogether. What are you saying, preacher? The seed's available. We just are rejecting it altogether. That's what we do. Hey, the seed is being put out there that we should love the brethren. The seed's being put out there that we are to be a light in a dark and shining world. But we just reject it altogether. The seed's been put out there that we should tithe, but we just reject it altogether. Hey. Let me ask you something, mother. Preacher, do y'all have one of them gospel tracks set up on boards where you get gospel tracks? Okay. How long has it been since you got one of them and gave it to a sinner?
Yes.
I'm talking about it. The seed's being rejected. One of my favorite things is, I noticed this morning y'all had that screen that comes down there. If God could drop a big scroll down there right now and had like two box on one side and a box on the other, this side over here is spirit-filled, this side ain't. They're giving out gospel tracts. They're trying to take the seed, trying to be spirit-filled. What side is your name on? The seed's being rejected. It's there. Hey, now I know you, Pastor. The seed's been put out there, okay? I know some of the men he lets preach here. The seed's available, but it's just being rejected. It's what it is. Now, let me say this. Another one of the characteristics is a barren womb. It don't only reject it, but it will not multiply. A barren womb will not bring forth life. It can't, and it will not. Hey, a children of God that's empty on the inside will not produce fruit from the outside to the outside. It will not. You know what drives us to follow the commandments and the ordinances of the God and to be a light to a lost and dying world? Spirit-filled.
Yes, sir.
That's what makes us get up in the morning and pray, God, would you put a sinner in my path today? God, would you put somebody that needs you? If you're here and saved, you got to know. I said that Bible says that you know you don't want people to go there, the awful place that Bible tells it is. But the reason we don't, because we're burned. We don't have a desire to look for sinners. We don't want God to put nobody in our way. And I'm going to tell you another reason we don't get spirit-filled. A lot of people don't get spirit-filled because they're afraid what God's going to ask them to do. They're scared of what God's going to ask them to do. Hey, now, it will not fulfill. Hey, there's no satisfaction in a barren room. I said a while ago, God does not save us and give us... There's no peace, no joy. Like I said a while ago, the reason you're so unhappy and so miserable is not because you're the one you married, not the country you live in. Hey, it's because you're a child of God. Let me say this. The most miserable Christian in Bowden, Georgia tonight is not the drunk, Brother Mike, and not the dopehead. It's the child of God that's been born again, and it's not spirit-filled. They're miserable. They're not where they need to be. Hey, they don't have no desire to be there either. You know what? If we get spirit-filled, 90% of our problems go away. Now, I'm going to say this. You get spirit-filled, 90% of his problems go away. Now, I ain't talking about CC getting out of his hair, okay? Hey, but listen to me now. It's amazing when we ain't spirit-filled, just the most little thing upsets us. Hey, we can come into church and Sister Wiggle Jaw or Brother Long Tongue can say something and it just messes us up. We'll go home and turn on Ofer Windbag and see if she can help us. Hey. Instead of going home, getting on our knees and getting spirit-filled, it wouldn't bother you none if somebody didn't shake your hand if you're spirit-filled. Now don't get me wrong, it's good to come over here and love on the saints and see the saints. But I'm going to tell you, I've been here all week long. Hey, I love you, Pastor, Miss Nay, and all them, and enjoy y'all's friendship. And Brother Ken talking about how you love on people. But I come here to get something from God, okay? Hey. But our problems would go away if we get spirit-filled. Now here's the last one. I told you it wouldn't be long. The prayer of a barren womb. The pattern of a barren womb. Now we have the proof. You can go back to Luke where we was, chapter 1. The proof of a filled womb. I said we're going to have to agonize over it. We're going to have to admit it. We're going to have to spend time with God. There's some characteristics that were not filled. Now the proof of a filled womb. How do you know you got life in you? Hey, you got a heartbeat. Hey. Now, like I say, you ladies can straighten me out on this later. Hey, when that seed is accepted, there's a heartbeat. Hey, when you, there's life there. Hey, you'll have a heartbeat for the things of God. Hey, you'll want to pray. You'll want to spend time in God. Hey, you'll want to look for that person I was telling you about when you got out of bed that needs Jesus. Hey, you'll pray. It's funny when we're saved and we're spirit-filled, we'll come in, the preacher get up and we'll say, "Preach, preacher, preach, feed me." And when we come in, we ain't. We try to hide under the pew, hopes he don't see us. There's a heartbeat. Then there's movement. Look at verse 14. It says, "Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Now, wait a minute. Why that joy, that movement? But it said there at the end of that verse, I don't miss what it said. Gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Why is the rest of them rejoicing for? Because of the life that's inside her. What's that got to do with us, preacher? Let me tell you something. You get saved and you get spirit-filled, you got to enjoy somebody else being spirit-filled. Now let me say this real quick. Hey, if you don't, you might need to get saved. If you don't enjoy somebody else being spirit-filled, having a touch of God on them, you might need to get saved. They were rejoicing because of life in her. There'll be movement. Hey, there's a heartbeat. And then there's a sickness that comes along. Now, you ladies know what I'm talking about. Get that life inside of you, that heartbeat, that morning sickness. And I'll tell you what that is. That's the life on the inside not agreeing what mama's taking in from the outside. And so with a child of God, if we get filled, hey, the things of this world will make us sick. Hey, we maybe go in somewhere and we see that thing on the inside. I ain't doing that. I ain't putting up with that. That makes me sick. And then there's the walk of a person that's spirit-filled. Now listen, when a woman, you know, when she's not pregnant, she's barren, she's got to walk about, you know, she just walks. But then when she gets filled, Brother Mike, she's got a different walk.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about. You say, hey, don't get mad at me, ladies, okay? You got a different walk about them. Hey. Try to tell me your spirit feel and there ain't no different. Well, that don't work. I'm going to tell you something, another. Anybody's been in this for a long time? I'm going to tell you something. You think that you fooling your preacher when you come through the door, packing your Bible, and that big smile upon your face, acting like it's the greatest day, and you ain't fooling him. You're not fooling. It's amazing how I think we can fool people. And I'm going to tell you one thing, you sure ain't fooling them kids. They done know, or they done think that World War III went off in the car on the way over here. And we come in here and act right. But I'm going to tell you, when we're spirit-filled, we got a different walk. And then we got a different talk. We won't say the things we used to say. Now listen, I ain't saying that we'll change all of a sudden. The Bible says that any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things come. Now they may not become new right over the first night. Peter there, he messed up there when he denied the Lord and cursed. But you remember when the Lord come back, he said, make sure you tell Peter.
Right. Yes,
aye. But there's something wrong if you claim you're saved and you're spirit-filled and the whole time that mouth has got bad language coming out of it. There's something wrong. I wish my wife was here tonight. She'd tell you. I'm not proud of this. I worked in the coal mines 26 years, and I had the worst mouth than any human being probably was. I did, Brother Mike. I'm not proud of it. I'm not. But I'll never forget the day I got saved. The first week after that, I said two words, Brother Mike. Son, the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Hey. It's been 12 years since then. You know how many I've said? And that was the week after the first two.
Yes, sir.
Now listen here. Listen here. It ain't because of Donald Marker. It's because of Jesus.
Amen.
We can't do nothing without Him. He's the greatest thing ever happened to us. But now I'm wondering tonight, are you willing to admit that you're not spirit-filled? That you're not where you need to be? And I'm wondering if you just come and ask, well, preacher, you put me on the spot. Somebody's going, if I wasn't spirit-filled, I wouldn't care what somebody thought. Let me say this. This is what we do. We got lost friends and lost co-workers, and we think the preacher's supposed to be the one telling them about Jesus all the time. You're going to see people. You're going to say, play sister, you're going to see people that your preacher or your assistant pastor or deacons are never going to see. You're going to be the only light that they ever see. And if we really believe, and it, I'm going to tell you, whether we believe it or not, it's true. It's in this book. That people die and go to hell if they're not saved by Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't we not want to be spirit-filled? And ask God. Play something, sisters. Play. Let's stand for a minute. I wonder, why would we not want, like I say, your pastor or the deacons, or nobody, you may be the only person that knows Jesus that's ever going to be in contact with them, and you're not concerned enough to be spirit-filled? Shame on us. Shame on us that we're not concerned enough to spend time on our... It probably ain't going to happen. I'm going to tell you something other. If you'd be serious about it, hey, and you'd get serious with God about it, the devil couldn't keep you from getting spirit-filled. The thing is, we don't want to be serious about it. And like I said, we're not willing to admit it. We'll punch your wife. She's the one who's not spirit-filled when it's us all the time. We're blameless in a lot of areas. We are. But we burn. We ain't bearing no fruit. God's not changed. God saved 3,000 one time. Hey, now let me say this. I'm trying to shut up, preacher. Church this size and this many people, you don't think they wasn't lost people here this morning? I'm going to say this. You don't think there's lost people here right now? Preacher, you don't know us that well. You shouldn't say that. Well, if you don't think they are, the devil's got you right where he wants you. If we'd get joy, we'd have that joy and that peace. Sinners would come in and they'd say, you know what? I want what they got. But where we ain't spirit-filled, they don't want what we got. It ain't nothing new for them. Matter of fact, most time anymore, preacher, they say, if they go into heaven, I am. Now listen, I know we ain't perfect, we're pardoned. But surely we don't want people to go die and go to hell. I'm done, preacher, come on.